Queensland, sunny one day, coal-fired the next. The Sunshine State's electricity companies have hit back at claims that they're trying to shut solar power out of the grid. Queensland's bringing in new rules to limit the amount of solar energy being fed back into the power grid. The Australian Solar Council says it's a move to protect big electricity generators as solar's popularity grows. Stephanie Smale reports.
In the past 5 years, solar energy's popularity has surged in Australia, especially in Queensland. Troy Sheen spent about $50,000 installing solar panels on the roof of his Townsville home in 2011.
We initially put a 10-kilowatt system on our house, and 6 months later we applied for another 6 kilowatts, so we have 16 kilowatt of solar on our home, which nets us about $10,000 per year with no power bills.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics shows solar generation output rose by 58% to about 1.3% of electricity consumption in 2012-13. John Grimes from the Australian Solar Council says that's putting pressure on the Queensland electricity companies Ergon and Energex.
The utilities in Queensland have been decimated by the uptake of solar. This is a way they can, under the guise of technical problems, stop solar coming onto the grid.
Ergon says the growth in the solar industry is affecting network stability and damaging infrastructure. Ian McLeod is the company's chief executive.
We have issues with people's voltages going up and inverters switching off. It causes huge operational issues, and also that impacts the customer too because their actual inverter switched off. We have neighbours' inverters impacting inverters down the road.
Energex and Ergon are now enforcing a new system to tackle those issues. Under the new rules, new solar customers will only be able to feed power into the grid if their system is 2 kilowatts or smaller for Ergon customers or 3 kilowatts for Energex customers. Larger systems will need more expensive equipment or will be shut out altogether. The alternative is to install a solar system that doesn't export power back to the grid at all. Ian McLeod argues the new rules give customers more options.
We're not about constraining access to the network. We have changed our business model. It will be an open access platform. We will be agnostic as to the technology people put on it. We will encourage different applications and we'll move to the future.
No one from Energex was available for an interview. In a statement, the company says solar-related issues constitute around 40% of the company's voltage complaints. Energex says it spent more than $63 million adapting to the solar industry and paid out $465 million in solar feed-in tariffs. But John Grimes argues the company should be upgrading their infrastructure to allow for more solar customers.
There's a very small number of instances where there are technical issues caused by solar uptake, but they are really a tiny fraction of a percent. Instead of dealing with the technical issues that arise, they're using a sledgehammer to try and block solar from the grid altogether. This is a small problem that's easily managed, but instead they're taking the opportunity to take a whack at all solar on the grid and lock solar out from competing on their networks.
Troy Sheens is one of the happy customers who bought a solar system when the feed-in tariff was 44 cents. That's dropped to about 8 or 9 cents, depending where you live. Mr. Sheens is now looking at installing a solar system between 30 and 100 kilowatts at his business, a gym in Townsville. It's likely he'll have to negotiate with Ergon and his retailer to be able to feed any leftover power into the grid. He says he'll look at the changes to the feed-in regulations, but they're unlikely to impact on his decision.
We all hate power bills. I can remember my father walking around the house 30 years ago turning lights off that weren't being used in rooms, and I thought he was mad.
Solar customer Troy Sheens, ending Stephanie Smale's report.